I'm so this new season's gonna be so fucking unhinged though.
Oh, I know.
Of Game Changer. If this is the one they put first, where do they go from here?
That is, yes.
That, the terrifying question.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that has to clarify, I didn't say you were weak. I said you're unstable, Jared. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared.
That's worse. You see how that's worse, right?
I think that this conversation is so unhinged, and yet...
This season is unhinged, and this tribe especially is... Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
They took, so like they had the Nightmare tribe, except they had like a couple of normal people, and then they did a tribe swap, which took the couple of normal people, removed them from that tribe, and gave them more freaks.
Yeah. Let's filter it out, give it a nice little sieve shake, and no, you're too normal. Go to the other tribe.
What if we just did Kasaya again, but they were bad at the game?
It really shows you something when Sugar, the pinup model, is the normal one on that tribe.
Yeah. No, I think she's the most normal person on that tribe. Bad at Survivor, but the most normal person.
Maddie could also be up there, but he's
a little weird.
He's pretty weird.
Yeah. I try to think... I mean, I guess Jackie was.
Yeah. But we couldn't handle that.
No,
you're too normal.
Go.
Get out of here. Get lost, normie.
Oh, my God. Steven, how's your week been?
Oh, it's been pretty good the last couple days. Mikhail and I went on a date last night. We went to the Violet Hour.
What is that?
It's like a... can I call it a speakeasy? I'm not entirely sure. You walk up to
anywhere it. Anywhere I go is to speak loudly.
Okay. You walk up to it and there is a door, but it is unlabeled, and you just kind of like pull it open, and then it's a very dark bar.
Yeah, that's a speakeasy.
With very fancy drinks.
Okay.
It was cool. It was a good time.
That's the whole shtick?
That's the whole shtick. I mean, it was paid for by a Christmas holiday work present, so... That was nice.
But it's not like the Chicago Magic Lounge or something where it's like there's another gimmick going on?
Nope.
Okay.
No. Nope. I just got rather drunk on a Monday.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Why not? It was free.
That's the best way to get drunk is for free.
Mm-hmm. And I won my squares game. So that was a nice little... Do you know basketball squares for the college Final Four?
Oh, I've heard March of Madness. This, but remind me.
Everyone... picks a square, and then if the final score of one of the games ends on
yes.
your square, mm-hmm. you win money.
I've done this for football before.
Yes. Yeah. Same idea, but you do it for the entire tournament.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I go ahead.
Oh, no. Case in point, like the games get more worthwhile as you go further in the tournament, and I won the national championship one.
Damn.
So I'm like, ooh, okay, that's nice.
Huh. All right.
So, hey.
I can't get into basketball because it is just a solved game.
Fair.
It's actually, you know, it's funny. We talked about the immunity idol and like sending people, the same person to exile or not, the hidden immunity idol. And I think part of the reason why I want them to possibly make it so you can't send the same person back-to-back weeks or back-to-back challenges is because it kind of solves the game.
Mm.
Like, it solves the game of who to send. Like, there's no... You want it to be one person over and over again so you can, like, pin down where the fuck that idol is. Or at least, you know, you could give it to somebody in the Alliance, but still. I just don't like solved games. I can't get into baseball and I can't get into basketball.
I don't know that you could call them solved games because there's always an opponent to get in your way.
Sure, but the strategies are solved.
I see what you're saying.
To the point that basketball is considering, like, redoing the scoring format. Like, they're considering moving back the three-point line, or rather, like, making it so it's a straight line instead of, like, the curve around. Because the strategy is just throw three pointers.
I haven't heard straight line. I've heard remove the corner three.
Oh, that's what I mean. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're always like, even in the NFL, they're always proposing rule changes.
Yeah, of course.
Will it make it past competition committee? We'll see.
That's kind of the question around the tush push. Like, is it solving the game? And the answer is no, because only one team can seem to do it. And it's also, you have to be on the 1 yard line anyway, or like 1 yard from a first down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And only one team is successfully doing it. So no, it doesn't solve the game. But that's kind of thing like rules committees are always looking out for.
Mm-hmm. But like, and I've said this before on the show, tush push would be illegal in high school. Like, you cannot push a runner from behind.
Sure. There's plenty of things that be illegal in high school that are legal in the NFL.
Yeah. Like celebrating, you assholes. Stop celebrating. You're 17 years old.
Why don't they let them?
You can celebrate. There's okay. limits, though.
Sure. Well, there's limits in the NFL, too, and some of them are kind of dumb.
Yeah.
They ban the nose wipe gesture.
What does that even mean?
Like a celebration of like people like wiping their nose afterwards, saying it's a gang sign.
Okay.
I don't know that it is, but even if it is, it's kind of ridiculous.
People may get mad at me for this, but the brandishing a weapon celebration, I'm okay that you get flagged for that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that one.
If you're fake pulling out a gun and shooting your opponent, maybe you shouldn't be doing that in a game.
Yeah, that one's fine. I'm fine with that one. I mean I'm on the same page as you.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm okay with banning it.
Heard.
Yeah, I mean, we're just, maybe we're like old and squares. But
Jared, I've always been a square.
That's true. Yeah, you were born a square. It's gonna keep getting worse. It's like the show I just closed, like, I don't know how old the actors were in that, but I know some went to school together, and I think they were behind our engagement director, and she's younger than me by a few years. So if they were like 3 years behind her, that means that they probably graduated in like 2021, 2022. And like, I feel like the fucking crypt keeper, and it's just going to keep getting worse.
I used to be hip, and one day I wasn't.
Back in my day.
And it'll happen to you.
And it's so much worse because of the pandemic. Because there were so many theaters in Chicago that died because of the pandemic. And then, like, new ones have sprung up, including the one I run. But it's like, I'll be telling a story, and I'm like, oh, yeah, none of you were here when that theater existed. None of you know these people because they all left the industry.
I think that's just a natural flow of time, my dude.
No, but... okay, but, like, the pandemic was an extinction-level event for arts organizations.
Yeah, but, like, arts organizations are an extinction-level event for themselves. They are constantly cycling in new people.
But I'm talking, like, a 75% closure rate for storefront theaters. Yes. In the course of 2 years. Like, in the course of, like, two decades, you're entirely right. But, like, it was insane. And so there's just, and some equity theaters and things like that, but it's just like, oh yeah, none of you know, or like event spaces that shut down that wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It gets, it's a very hard marker in time that reminds me that I'm ancient. By that I mean 30.
Get out of my face. Oh boy. I don't even know where to go from there.
Emails?
Depression?
Depression emails?
Speaking of emails. Wait. If you want to email us.
We finally did it.
If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com. Or you can message us on Reddit, /SurvivorTBT. Or on Patreon. You can send us a message on Patreon. Follow us for free. Or support us. Whatever you feel like. I have a few emails. First one from Michael. Michael later, and I saw the head of this email that will be coming, but says that this was actually supposed to be 4-3, but was confused and wrote episode. It's that bonus first episode that gets us.
The fair, yeah.
You've discovered Jeff's weirdly negative and biased previously on segments this season. So they are notorious for being a bit unhinged and detached from reality.
They really are.
Speculation being that he really despised how weak physically players took out a strong player like Jackie and have another strong player like Ace on the ropes. So there's a very firm anti-Fong bias, like saying they're playing like they have a death wish. Jeffrey, my brother in Christ, they're at numbers disadvantage and can whittle down OG Coda. It makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, it does make sense. I will say to Jeff, not to Jeff's defense, but to his point, I suppose, is this the worst tribe we've ever seen?
It's up there.
I think it could be. They're not the losingest, but the most dysfunctional with just nothing going on. Maybe.
It's up there. As for why Jackie over Kelly, beyond the obvious, she was clearly more connected. There was probably some fear that Kenny Crystal CG that and Maddie that could flip. Like, there was some flip situation going on there if they let a sugar Jackie stay intact. Plus, also some fear that a trio with a potential idol is more dangerous than a duo where the four Fongs could do a split vote to get around the idol.
That's true.
I think the fear of Maddie flipping is not unwarranted. Though,
we see that in this episode.
Though, as we know, he wasn't aligned with the three other Fongs he's with.
Yeah.
He's kind of this weird wherever he is.
Yeah. I'm just thinking back to previous tribes. And like, Steven, would you rather be on Fong or would you rather be on the Yellow Tribe in China? Zhang Hu.
Is Randy still on Fong?
Post-tribe swap.
Okay.
The Ace and Sugar version.
This is honestly a tough question.
Yeah, post-Jackie vote, pre-GC being voted off.
I unfortunately would probably say China.
I think so too. And then I think of like the whatever tribe that lost all of them in Palau. I'd much rather be on that tribe.
I don't know. This could just be a recency bias in that the people that I'm watching right now would piss me off. But Jean-Robert would also piss me off.
No, that'd be Dave.
I know.
I'd rather be around Dave than like GC and most of the rest of the Fong members.
That's saying a lot.
I know. But really, I mean, well, maybe that's not true, but the other people that were on Zhang Hu, I'd rather be around them. Like, I'd rather be around, well, we learned a lot about Eric, but at the time, Eric and Jamie and PG. Like, I can't think of a worse tribe or a tribe that would be harder to be around and, like, is doing worse in the game. Anyway.
This fits in well with the email. My top five people I'd least like to be stuck with so far.
There we go.
From Thailand, Ted.
Yep.
From Amazon, Roger.
Oh, that's fair, yeah.
From Australia, Redacted.
Well, yeah.
From Thailand, John.
Yep.
From China, Jean-Robert.
Yep. Those are all good picks.
There you go. Finally, I'm glad you guys are loving Randy and seem to be enjoying the season. It's different than Micronesia for sure, but there's definitely strategy going on, and most people are playing in ways that make sense for them. One of my favorite Kelly lines is in episode 5, we stand an oblivious queen. Anyway, hope you continue to like the season. It gets better from here.
Oh, it does. I will admit this episode and last episode, not my favorite. Still enjoying it, but the GC episode was a bummer. And this episode is just hard to watch with how one-sided and just kind of like beating a dead horse it is getting.
It's very have or have nots.
Yeah. And it feels kind of like we're in the merge slump before the merge.
Yeah. This is one of the weakest episodes, I think, of this season.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
So moving on, have a first time emailer from Michelle. Michelle says, I've been watching Survivor from the beginning too, and I love hearing your guys' commentary, but even more so, appreciate all the Ted hate in the Thailand season. The whole situation with Ted is sickening, and I have a hard time rooting for anyone on that tribe now just for the enabling alone. This episode, episode 7, was upsetting because Shein was the only redeeming person on the whole season. And Penny's smug-ass look on her face as she is voting for her was enough to convince me exactly of who she is and how she's been treating her for this season. I'm going to have to force myself through the rest of the season now. I think the whole fake merge thing was a horrible decision on Survivor's part and really set up specific people to be screwed by that, which is super unfortunate. Hoping they learn from their mistake, as I've heard this is one of the worst seasons due to all of the above. Happy to hear she's back for All-Stars, though. Thanks for giving me an outlet for my current hyperfixation, so I'm not info dumping Survivor on all of my friends.
Well, thanks, Michelle. You'll hear this eventually.
You'll hear this in, who knows how long. It depends on how fast you work through these clips.
Yeah, how strong is your hyperfocus is the question.
Next email from Josh. Josh says, I meant to send this last week, but the movie Quarantine you talked about is just a bad remake of a Spanish movie called Rec, R-E-C, that people should check out if they haven't seen it.
Oh, like recording. Okay, yeah.
Oh, that might be, yeah, okay. One idea I had for the Patreon, when you start a new season, I usually try and guess in my head where the two of you will end up ranking the winner and season by the end. Maybe at the beginning of the season, you could make a poll for all the people to vote in, and you can compare it to how you actually end up ranking in the finale episode.
That could be fun.
That could be fun.
I legitimately forgot who I picked to win this season. I'll have to go back and check.
I forgot too. We'll check.
Yeah. It might have been Crystal. No, it might have been Randy.
I think it was Randy.
I think it was Randy. Yep.
And our last email here, also from Michael C., I think I misnumbered my email, like I talked about earlier. Unlike Connor, I am not a time traveler. It's blaming the two-part episode one. Yeah. I don't have a lot to add about GC that wasn't already said. But the eat your rice scene was notorious on Survivor Sucks with people quoting it. But people racialized it and wrote it as if Crystal said eat yo rice with, boy. Yeah, she clearly says eat your rice both times, so it's always been a bit icky and racialized to me that that's how it is remembered sometimes.
Yeah.
Dan reminds me of a ton of a golden retriever. He just wants to be loved. He's a bit socially awkward. It's interesting in the contrast in trust that CODAs have with him and Susie, when to me, I really doubt Dan would flip since the only person on Fong he would even want to work with would be Maddie. Maybe Ken. And yeah, Marcus bites off a piece of fruit from Charlie's shoulder in a very affectionate manner, which the message boards ate up at the time.
Of course they did.
Their duo was called Charkus.
Charkus. That sounds like a randomly generated like fantasy name when you click on the like fantasy name generator website.
Ah, yes. And in walks Charkus.
Charkus the Goblin.
I would for sure agree that the tribe swap failed to rebalance the tribes. But
I think it made it worse. Looking at it now, I think it made the tribes more unbalanced.
But they did let them pick again, so I'm not sure what they expected.
Yeah.
I do like the timing for it, and I agree with Jared that doing it too early or too late can be super detrimental as well. Kelly's maybe he was eaten by a monkey is low-key one of my favorite quotes. And another point in her favor for being one of my random favorites.
She's so stupid.
She's unintentionally hilarious.
Oh, yeah. No, unintentionally. That is a very important word in that.
GC has a funny reunion quip about that incident, too, which makes him a lot more likable to me.
Okay.
Anyway, great pod episode as well. And while the strategy may be lacking at the moment, the vibes of the season are pretty immaculate, as I've always found Gabon to be a fun watch.
The vibes are awful, but they're at least entertaining.
The vibes are vibing, and that's all you need to know. I have one more that I want to pull out here. It is on our Reddit.
No Josh or Carl this time?
Not this time.
Huh, okay.
But we do have Bro My God. Bro My God sends in Patreon ideas. One, Australian Survivor 2016 and onward.
Okay.
There were two seasons in the early 2000s, like 2002 or so. 2016 was the revival. And it's technically season three, but the 2016 season is the first season of the revival. There is a Facebook group that I am in that posts downloads of the episodes. I can send that your way. Two, love the reaction. More of that. Also realized I mentioned the fight from the Duel 2, so here's the link. It's worth watching just for the messiness. Do you want to take a moment just to watch?
Sure.
Sure, here we go. I will smash his head and eat it, he says.
Wow. And that was before Challenge Rivals? Was that the person he got paired up with?
I honestly could not tell who he was punching. That's how fast and like brutal it was. It might have been, was he with Kenny
or Adam?
I don't remember. All in all, It was before that.
I can see why everyone's afraid of him. Also, like, how does he not go to jail? Like, how is that? How do you invite that person back? So, for those who didn't see the clip, which is everyone but Steven and I, he, like, this absolute, like, thumb muscle of a man just walks up and punches the dude in the face with, like, full, like, turns his hips, has his full body behind it, square in the nose.
That's a hell of a punch.
That's the kind of punch that could kill somebody, to be honest. And they go, and then, like, they keep fighting for a long time to the point that it spills into the parking lot and, like, the whole cast and most of the crew, it would seem, are trying to get involved and separate them. And then you bring him back? Crazy.
I don't know. I don't know why you would do that. Yeah, CT was paired with Adam in Rivals.
So which is the guy I think he was fighting.
The guy he was punching?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go.
I'm pretty sure I heard him say, like, hey, Adam. And the, dude, that's nuts. That's insane.
Oh, boy. Okay, well.
Wow.
How about that?
What are their insurance rates? That's what I want to know.
Through the roof. Cool. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on October 23rd of 2008. A couple things I pulled in the week between episodes. Not really, just one. Google Play is launched, the official app store for the Android operating system. The number one song on the charts has changed to Womanizer by Britney Spears, which Steven already knew because when I looked it up, I was humming it. And then I tried to pretend like I wasn't humming it by just, like, randomly scatting. And then Steven goes, I thought you were humming Womanizer. Damn it, I was.
Gotcha.
Well, we'll do the plays first. I don't know. Do people like this bit? We'll see. Some more plays that open on Broadway, Stephen. Boeing, Boeing.
I do know
obviously,
that one.
A revival. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Also, obviously, a revival. I'm going to skip a bunch of the ones I don't know. Equus.
Equus.
Equus. Yes, sorry. Gypsy Revival. In the Heights.
Okay.
Okay. Godspell, but it was canceled. Anyway. I don't think you like this bit.
I think I was very vocal that I was like, I don't know that this fits with what we're doing, but...
The top five movies
Who am I to stop you?
You can't. Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Body of Lies. W.
W.
The Secret Life of Bees. And then number one in our movie for the week... Max Payne.
I'm sorry, did you say The Secret Life of Bees?
I sure did. Maybe I should pick that one.
Okay, we'll sorry. Next week. Max Payne.
Max Payne. Steven, are you familiar with Max Payne?
I know of Max Payne. I have never seen this.
Okay. After the murders of his family and his partner, Maverick cop Max, Mark Wahlberg, becomes hell-bent on revenge, teamed with beautiful and deadly Russian mobster Mona Sachs. Her name's Mona Sachs?
What is okay. this? Some... Fucking Mike Myers.
Or James Bond shit.
Yeah.
Pussy Galore. That's actually the name of a James Bond woman.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Mona Sachs is played by Mila Kunis. Max journeys into a dark underworld to find the truth, but forces, both worldly and supernatural, align against him, determined to silence Max forever.
He can't handle the truth.
Did I say truth? Whatever. What do you think is random Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
I don't think that this is great. I think it's going to sit in, like, the 60s range. So I'm going to go critic score of 57, audience score of 61.
Would this change your mind if I told you it was a video game?
It should be worse, then.
Yes, that it is. 16% critic, 29% audience. While it boasts some stylish action, Max Payne suffers severely from an illogical plot and overdirection.
Okay. There was a time where you just shouldn't make a video game movie.
And that was most of the history of video game movies.
Mm-hmm. We're still kind of there.
Is the Minecraft movie any good?
See, here's the kicker. I've heard the Minecraft movie is really good.
I've heard it discount Jumanji.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. It's called a Minecraft movie, which threatens sequels as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, like... Top video game movies, like, no ranking, just or, like, ones that are even good. Uh-huh. Like, that, the Mario Bros. Movie, the Street Fighter movie, maybe, the Mortal Kombat movie, And that's it?
The Sonic movies.
Oh, the Sonic movies. You're right. And I don't even know if the Street Fighter movie is good. I've never seen it. I just know a lot of quotes from it. I don't know if it's like just quotable, if it's actually good.
I don't know that it's actually good.
Probably not. But the Mortal Kombat movie is.
Okay.
That the Street Fighter movie, I know I've said this before on mic, so sorry, but has one of my favorite quotes of all time, which is, "The day that M. Bison visited your village was the most important day of your life. For him, it was Tuesday." It goes so hard.
Huh. What other movie? I think about the Borderlands movie and how absolute trash it was.
I forgot that existed.
Yeah, it's for the best.
Yeah, they don't make good movies most of the time.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
It's really hard to transfer mediums.
What about smalls?
God damn it. I could tell you were cooking something up there, but I thought you were going to go with like a psychic joke.
That's kind of where I was jumping between.
Yeah.
So many things you can do with a medium. Anyway, anything else?
No.
Cool. Let's get into the episode. Episode 5, he's a snake, but he's my snake.
Or is he?
Or is he?
Because she flips like 4 times this episode.
The world may never know.
The thing that is crazy about this episode, and seemingly the next one from what they teased, is that if Survivor Alliances are like monogamous relationships, everyone in this is in a polycule. Like, everyone is just bouncing around and being like, well, you, 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 you. Like, Sugar seems to, in this episode, like, jump between a few different people. It seems like everyone next episode is like, oh, sure, we're aligning now. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, we're going for this person. Like, it's so weird.
I love at this point, like, watching Sugar have all of the agency and zero agency at the same time in this game.
All of the power, none of the agency. Well, that's not true, because she is making decisions. She's just changing her mind constantly.
Yeah.
All of the agency, none of the decisiveness.
Sure.
Yeah.
But also kind of just lets Ace steamroll her for a little bit, because, like, I don't know. He's nice to me, and he is willing to work with me, so let's go with this guy.
She just hands him the idol, and he just hands it back.
That was a something that I was a little confused about, because she says she went and she took it, which I'm very clearly like, that's against the rules.
Oh, interesting.
It could be a situation where I'm misunderstanding, like, she...
Or they had a conversation, and, yeah, and he's like, yes, you can go grab it, and she, like, went and took it or whatever.
Right. I don't know. All in all, I thought that scene was weird just on that fact alone.
And like, that we don't see her have it.
Right.
We don't see, her, like, the handoff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went into your bag and I got the idol. And I was like, huh? That's not a thing that you can do.
Well, and actually, that's interesting.
Unless she never officially handed it off to him. But sure. I swear we saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and she says she did multiple times. I know we're kind of jumping ahead. But that is interesting, because the other thing that I thought about with this conversation that we're going to get into is, like, he goes, well, they know the idol's in your bag, so give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I could think is, why? Like, there's no... If they figured out that you have the idol, it is worse to not have it anymore at that point.
Right.
Because then you don't have the power of it, but you have all of the threat of it.
I have all the target of an idol with none of the responsibility to keep me safe.
It doesn't make any sense unless both of them thought you could physically steal them. Because if Ace is, or at least if Sugar thinks you can physically steal it.
Apparently she did.
I don't know. It's bizarre.
So, one, I want to start with a recap of Jeff kind of blowing what we're doing here. Because he says, can Ace and Sugar survive another tribal council? And you're like, well, I guess Fong is going to tribal council again.
Yeah, but we already knew that.
We already knew that. You're right. We start at Fong, positive energy.
Oh, I actually, sorry, with the recap, I knew it was going to be a food reward from the recap.
Because mm-hmm.
Jeff was already focusing on like, oh, and they're almost out of food.
Yeah.
Huh? Anyway.
And really, that's kind of what it is at the beginning. First we go, GC had to go. Everyone's happy, glorious. Ah, yes. A cancer has been removed from our camp.
Everything will be fine now, guys.
Ace keeps saying he's a sugar in my pocket, and it's
a good catchphrase.
It's funny.
If he was an action figure, you pull on the string, it'd be, I got sugar in my pocket.
And you pull it again, I got sugar in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, he got different levels of British in different scenes.
Aren't we all just a little bit of British and all the time? You roll a die. Oh, I guess I'm this much British today.
Only if you're playing that one shopkeeper I voice in D&D.
And Ace is talking to us. I have some moves. I have one person, but I need a Benedict Arnold.
I don't know where to find my Benedict Arnold. And then Maddie walks up and goes, hey, can I be your Benedict Arnold?
It's really funny, too, because he's the British.
Ah, yes, that is pretty good.
So he needs an American to jump ship. And, like, it's the perfect one-to-one here.
It's pretty good. Oh, I also want to point out Maddie calls the tribe the Goof Troop.
Goof Troop.
Which is a cooler name than they deserve. This absolute dumpster fire of a tribe.
It's pretty rough. And Maddie talks about what's important to him, and he's dreaming about food, his dog, his girlfriend. Those are the things that are most important to him.
In that order?
He did not specify, but at the moment, probably.
Probably.
And he makes a ring out of, was that a rock? It seemed like a rock.
I must have missed this. I must have been writing down a note because I don't remember seeing that.
He's like coring out a circular rock thing, and then we'd never see it again. So I don't know what happened to that.
I must have missed that. Wow. Okay.
And you know what? He's so frustrated, but he's ready. And if someone approaches him with a reasonable plan, I'm going to jump ship. I'm all for it. I just need something.
Ace, I might have something of interest to you.
Yeah. Ace comes in, he's like, let's make a deal. I want to like work together. I want to get further. And then they just start like negotiating.
And it's interesting because they start negotiating and they're negotiating like with their plus ones. It's like an anti-duel where like you send your plus ones out to negotiate the fight. This is sending out the leader to negotiate. Okay, well, you get this person and I get this person, and those are the people that are safe. And it's us four to the merge, which, hey, Maddie, that doesn't help you. You were always going to make the merge.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not negotiating a better deal for yourself? Sure, Ace can just go back on it. But, like, why aren't you negotiating a final four? Why aren't you? Ace is the one that needs your help to get to the merge, not the other way around.
You're not wrong.
Maddie, what are you doing? It feels like there's just something in the ground, and we said groundwater. I guess that's kind of what they're drinking. There's something in the water that is causing these people to lose their minds and their memories every like 12 hours at Fong. Except for Ace. Ace is, I don't really like the guy, and I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but he is charming and he is charismatic, and people will just give him things.
I'm going to put it this way. Maddie feels kind of isolated, even though he has Ken, but Ken is also close to Crystal. So he's sitting there probably thinking, if Ken goes with Crystal and Ace is with Sugar, then that just kind of leaves me and Kelly in this situation, and I don't want to be handcuffed to Kelly. And they may take out me just because I'm not part of a group.
Well, he does say it at Tribal, too. Like, I don't know with this tribe, man. Like, I should be safe, but anything can fucking happen with these people.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, okay. When you put it like that, I see a side a little bit. But you could have gotten a better deal out of this.
It's the art of the deal, Jared.
Fuck off.
So, the way they phrase this, too, is kind of hilarious. You've got your Kenny. I've got my Sugar. Great. Deal.
Sure.
All right. And they swear on Ace, his mother's life, and Maddie on his girlfriend. And I'm not going to break that promise. Not for $1 million. Not for $5 million.
Ace is like, I'll break that promise right now.
I'll do it.
Shit. Like, these swearing on something means nothing.
No. Often when you're shown someone swearing on something, it doesn't end well.
Yeah, it's so, I don't know why people put any trust in that. I know you have to put trust in people in Survivor, But I don't know why people put trust in that. I don't know what else you can put trust in, to be fair.
Is this a promise just to be broken?
Like, yeah.
In Survivor terms, are we just, like, waiting for the moment?
Well, no, because this is only, like, to the merge. I think that, like, those four, if Fong makes it to the merge with four, I think it probably will be those four.
Okay.
But who knows? Next episode is a fucking blender of chaos, it would seem.
I mean, they're down to five, so at this point, it's just...
Oh my god, they are, aren't they?
Yeah. It's just that four and Crystal.
Yeah. Okay, well...
So Crystal has to be the next target.
I think Crystal's the next target.
Okay.
Who fucking knows with these people? I know that Maddie won't be voting for Ace. That's okay. The only thing I can guarantee next episode, which means Maddie will definitely be voting for Ace.
So Coda, just absolute opposite. Hey, we might be eating too much. We're setting up that Dan is taking too much food.
Is Dan the reason that Fong was out of rice and then he switched tribes and had more food to go through?
I don't think he was the sole reason, but he certainly did not help. Because there were plenty of people who were pushing for more food, and Randy was sitting there like, no, we can't do more food. We're going to run out. And then Randy gets out of there, and he's living the dream.
Yeah.
But everyone else is seeing Dan take more than his share.
Yeah.
And is real frustrated by it.
Which does bring up an interesting question, because I think it's Corin that we see say, like, I don't care if you're three times my size. Like, you get the same amount of rice as I do. Should that be how it is? Because if you have more mass, you need more calories. But at the same time, that's not really how you want to do it in Survivor.
Right. I almost never see a situation where they're going to ration based on size. Like, most people are going to come to the conclusion that here, this is fair, this is equal, even when, you're right, it's not necessarily the most fair.
It's equal, but not equitable.
Right. But also, Dan is eating, like, way more than he should.
Don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not defending Dan. She raised that. I went, yeah, we haven't really, like, it's come up on the fringes, like when James is eating too much food in China and stuff like that. But it's never been a big enough issue. It's never been phrased that way that made me go, huh, maybe the bigger people should have slightly more food, not a ton more, but like 1.5 times, like, you know, everyone gets 1 times. And then, you know, if you're fucking 200 pounds and everyone else is 100, like, yeah, maybe you should get 1.5 times instead of the food for a 100-pound person.
Right. And really, the highlight here is Corinne saying, we're going through food at an alarming rate. And had we not won all of these challenges, we're probably where Fong would be.
Yeah, we're sort of seeing the cascading failures of Fong of losing all but one reward challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reward was bedding, so not anything they could eat.
Right.
And that is... Fong was already the worst tribe, but it's making it so much worse every single episode.
Sure. So, Fong has no food. They really just don't have enough food. Kenny says, we don't have rice. If we don't have rice, we're dead. Yikes.
Can they live off the land? There's fish-ish.
They don't have fish? Well, they had that one fish hook from Randy.
Oh, yeah. We don't even know if Randy took that with him or if he left it.
He probably left it, gone.
Yeah.
One fish hook does not last you a long time.
Oh, that's true. Those don't last forever, huh?
No.
Ooh. Ooh, they're in trouble. they're in trouble.
Speaking of in trouble, down at the lake, Ace and Sugar talk about the idol, because Ace says, they know you have the idol. I think they went through your bag. I'm pretty sure they went through your bag. And Sugar says, well, I might as well give it to you then.
What?
Huh?
I don't understand how she gets to any of her conclusions basically ever. With, like, they could have gone through my bag, but they didn't, though, at Tribal. And then Ace going, I think they went through your bag. And her going, no, they didn't. And him going, yes, they did. Okay, well, then you can just have it. Oh, wait, can I have it back? Ace is my snake, but actually, maybe I should get rid of him. I don't understand what she's doing at all. She's just a wild card.
She is a wild card.
They want, you know what? They cast GC trying to get another Dreams, but they got another Dreams in Sugar. She's just going to do something.
Interesting. Okay.
She's just going to be a complete fucking wild card that follows her own rules, and those rules are not written in a language that you can read.
But she's, when she's talking to us, the audience, she knows that this is kind of wild and crazy, because she's talking about, I'm putting a lot of faith in Ace, and he's a fink, but he's my fink.
A fink?
I think that was what she said.
Snake.
Did you say snake?
It's literally the title of the episode.
You're right.
What is a fink?
I don't know, man. Just I was writing down. I was taking notes real fast. I was confused. It's late. I don't know,
it
man.
It is. It's true.
And, yeah. And then Ace has an interview, and then suddenly Elephant intrudes.
That was a cool shot.
Hey, this is my confessional, Elephant. Get out of here.
No, he loved it.
He did love it. Look at that.
A fink is an unpleasant or contemptible person. So I guess it kind of fits.
That's why I thought, like, that doesn't matter. I knew it was a real word.
I knew it was a real word. I didn't know what it meant.
Is that what she said? Now I'm...
No, because the title of the episode is He's a Snake, But He's My Snake.
Says who?
Paramount.
Damn it. Anyway, reward challenge. We're walking into reward challenge, and Randy is having the best day ever because GC is gone.
He really hated him on a personal level.
He did.
Oh, there is one note I forgot. This is just a tongue-in-cheek little joke, not anything to look too hard at. But Ace in his confessional is talking about how he has supremacy, and the British-esque white dude sitting in Africa talking about his supremacy has bad historical precedent.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, we're doing the ketchup challenge, but not the condiment, the race around a little circle. But it's different this time because you have to carry a giant snake.
And you're not in water.
You're not in water.
The other two times you've been in water.
It's 20 feet long. It's 200 pounds. You can still drop out at any time, but then someone has to carry your load of the snake.
Do you like this not in the water?
I don't think it works as well when it's not in the water.
I agree, because of being able to sprint.
Yes.
But it'd make it interesting. I like that as a one-off. I don't hate it. I just like it. I like the challenge either way. I think this is one of the better design challenges for like a simple physical challenge. We haven't talked about it. A lot of physical challenges this season.
A lot of physical challenges.
In fact, I think almost exclusively. Like, we had the one puzzle that Bob and Ken fought on, which is one of the two challenges that Fong won. And I think pretty much everything else has been entirely or almost entirely physical.
Depends on if you consider Plinko physical.
I consider that more luck.
I do too.
But yeah, all physical challenges or like the gate was physical and luck. Like, there's not really any mental challenges this season.
Not a whole lot.
Which is maybe the one way Fong could have been winning challenges, because Ken seems really smart.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the challenges they won.
Yeah.
When you put Ken up to do smart things. Anyway, they're playing for pastries, coffee and tea, and just a grand old time. Kodak sits Corinne. This challenge is a tale of two halves. It's yep. Fong goes out and they push hard, and then they realize, oh, we're out of gas.
I don't even know if they were, like, I mean, the small people are out of gas, but I think it's more team cohesion, actually, again. Like, the small people dropping off at the wrong times, not dropping out correctly, like, getting tangled up in it and slowing them down even more. Like, it's actually very close to the immunity challenge as well. Like, good performances up front, and then once they have to work together, they fucking fall apart.
Because Sugar, Kelly, and who else drop, like, all at the same time?
Sugar, Kelly, and Ken, I think.
Ken, that's right. It says Jenny, but it's Kenny. They all drop at the same time, leaving just Maddie, Ace, and Crystal all to carry that snake.
And Crystal's out pretty quickly after that, too.
It's not too far, but she pushes for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because as soon as Crystal drops, then it's near impossible for them.
I thought Maddie was going to take that thing on his own shoulders and just start fucking hoofing it.
200 pounds by yourself.
He was mad.
He was mad.
I thought through the power of rage and anime, like, he was going to make that happen.
Through the power of this one British dude behind me and all the anger I can hold in my heart. I will chase down these five men.
I'm not going to say successfully, but...
but it tried. Anyway, that challenge was not bad, but it was very indicative of what the season is.
On more even tribes, it could have been interesting.
Mm-hmm. When you do that challenge on as uneven as it is, it's just not a fun watch.
And it's always going to go so much quicker on land than in water that mm-hmm. You're right. It takes away some of the enjoyment of like, ooh, they can't close that gap quite so quickly. Maybe these guys can pick up steam, or this person coming off the train will make it. You know, they can get some more ground back, but it'll be heavier in the long run. And it's a little more interesting to watch than this one where it's like, oh yeah, okay. Oh, it's two people, 200 pounds, and now the other tribe can just sprint. Yeah, it's over.
So Coda wins, and they get their pastries, and Randy is very cruelly eating in front of them, and Crystal just breaks down and cries.
Well, Crystal or somebody asks, can I have one? And Randy just goes, no.
I don't remember the can I have one.
Maybe it was Kelly. I don't know. Somebody on, someone on Fong asked if they could have one, and Randy just, like, he just... no. In a mean way, like, obviously there's no way to say that, and there's no reason you should be nice. I'm not saying you should give one, but it's more like it's like very snide.
This section he's pretty mean.
Yeah.
Because he sees Crystal like crying and getting frustrated, like losing over and over again. It starts to hurt, and Randy goes, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. It's the first time this whole series I've not liked Randy. There was the wah, wah. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. And Jeff trying to get some reality TV grossness of, like, rubbing their face in it, like, eating the pastries in front of them, being like, what hurts worse, losing or the pastries?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they send Sugar to exile again.
She's just sure.
Has a permanent residence there.
Why not? I guess.
Randy says, I absolutely love watching them lose.
The problem is, Randy, you can't burn these bridges. You don't know if you'll need them. And on top of it just being, like, mean, it's a tactical mistake.
Mm-hmm. To respond, Crystal goes, he's a troll. He's a troll under the bridge. He despises the world. And, boy.
Pretty early use of the word troll.
Yes.
Like, in that context. And it had been around for a couple of years at this point, but that certainly wasn't mainstream.
Mm-hmm. So, Coda, they have their pastries. They're a strong, unified team. And we have to be very clear and upfront about this pastry rationing.
And meanwhile, in this scene, I noticed Charlie just staring at Marcus with lust.
Oh my god, Marcus.
Every so often, you'll just see him in the background lusting after Marcus, saying nothing.
Don't we all? No, just Charlie. Anyway, Randy has an interesting moment here, because he's like, hey, I want to distance myself from Dan because people are clearly not liking Dan. But then he tries to goat him into eating more pastries than he should.
Which is, it's not a bad strategy if you don't get caught.
Hey, it's a reward. There's no rationing in a reward.
Because now you look like an enabler, and that's a bad place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Versus letting him set himself on fire.
Correct. But boy, wouldn't it be funny if he did it?
He kind of did, I think. I don't know. I don't know how they divided it up, actually.
They were very clear that there was one of each pastry for each person.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, at Exile, Sugar is feeling awful that she is sitting here enjoying fruit while her tribe starves and there's nothing she can do about it.
I don't quite get this.
Why?
I mean, there's a part of me that does understand it, and it's like, it's empathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, darn, our Survivor contestant has empathy.
No, I want that, obviously. But this isn't something you control. I mean, I guess it's just feeling bad for
it's
them.
It's survivor's guilt in more ways than one.
God damn it. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Hey.
Yeah. I thought she was, maybe it just threw me off because I thought she was going to be crying about, like, it sucks that I'm being singled out like this and that I have to, like, I want to, like, play the game. And I think that's what threw me, actually.
I want to think it's a mix of a lot of this.
Yeah.
And that she feels bad because people are legitimately starving back at her camp and she's getting free fruit every time through no, like, skills of her own.
Well, I mean, she's getting, that was like an entire, like, fruit basket.
Yeah.
And she just had one of them, like, what, 24 hours ago?
Yeah.
Or maybe 48, if it's depending on how long it's been since the last immunity challenge. She's, homegirl's so well fed.
They might as well just make it into a nice little basket, an edible arrangement.
Right?
Because she just lives here now. So, boy, we get back to Fong, and we're just kind of dogging on Crystal a little bit here.
I was surprised, and I want to give Ace some flowers here. Kelly hated his fucking guts. And now she's out talking strategy with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive, or Kelly's pretty unimpressive. And I do actually think it's both now that I say that out loud.
I think he's good at charming his way in sometimes.
That's why he made up the accent.
But also, you're right. Kelly is...
She's the worst, dude. I mean, GC was worse, but she's pretty bad.
It's just hard to get a grip on what she is doing because there seems to be no through line and she can't do challenges.
She's Sugar, but mean and uninteresting. Like how Sugar's just kind of doing stuff. So is Kelly, without any seemingly like rhyme or reason.
Mm-hmm.
Except she's mean and sucks.
And I don't know. There's this conversation about like crying and why Crystal was crying. And
that's weakness.
Yeah.
She says to Ace, like, I think that she just, you know, that she could be weak because she was crying. It just makes her look really weak to us and to the other tribe. And like, she can talk about it to us, but you can't take it back to the other tribe. And that's so wrong on so many levels.
Meanwhile, Crystal sees that these two went off on their own, and feeling self-conscious already about the cry, she goes to hunt them down and be like, that cry was not weakness.
Well, and she says, like, Kelly won't even hardly, like, say a word to me since we've been back. She's going to face the wrath of Crystal. And apparently the wrath of Crystal is, like, a very minor confrontation about the intentions of why she cried.
Isn't that the second Crash Bandicoot game? The Wrath of Crystal.
God damn it, Steven. I love this dynamic we have where I'll bring up something and you wait to say your pun.
That's me.
Yep.
That's what I'm here for, man. Anyway, yeah, she chases them down like into the woods, explains herself to them, and then Kelly kind of doubles down in a confessional. It was a sign of weakness.
What the fuck? Why do you think that?
How dare anyone have emotions?
Right, and not
feel bad about losing.
Even trying to understand Kelly's argument about crying being weakness on her own terms. Like, first of all, when that's said, it's usually around men. Like, mm-hmm. Typically, when like women are allowed to cry, men are not in like America, patriarchal stuff, and it's gross and annoying. Crystal, not a man. Crystal crying did not come off to me as someone that was breaking down. Like, she wasn't like sobbing. It was a frustrated competitor. It was the kind of crying you see at somebody who like lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Or someone that's just had a hard fought battle. Like, how can she misread that on so many levels?
Because Kelly wasn't trying at anything in this.
Kelly sucks.
Oh boy. And at Coda, they catch a turtle. Because sure, why not? Rich get richer.
Crazy. First of all, I thought that was a snapper, and I was like, I was thinking to myself, it has been a kind of like a long episode. It feels like, is Bob just gonna go home because a snapper takes off his hand?
Wouldn't be the craziest thing we've seen, right?
No, it would not. I also don't know why, but them holding like I eat a lot of meat, and I have seen. Like, I've seen them kill chickens and do all this stuff on Survivor. For some reason, them holding the turtle while talking about how they're going to kill it and then dice it up in the soup made me feel really bad for the turtle and, like, made it feel really barbaric. And I don't know why it hit me like that.
It's not an animal that we typically in the West see in our dishes. There are some places where the turtle soup is a thing,
mm-hmm.
but... Not something here in Chicago we see too often.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's the shell. I think that having to go in the shell and get it and, like, kill it that way makes it, like, barbaric to me.
I think they chop off the head first.
Well, sure.
Like, you want to kill it before you start dissecting it, I hope.
Well, we might have to go in the shell to get the head.
That's a good point.
Anyway.
Have you seen the PETA flyer that's like, it lines up a bunch of animals in a row and it says...
It's like pet or
pet
meal.
Pet or food.
Yeah, where do you draw the line?
You're like, well, it'd be right about here.
People be like, here and like after cow in normal times, I think it was like horse and something, like if you're really desperate. And it's like a couple other if in an apocalypse.
Yeah. This one sits in front of the line of normal time, but on Survivor, we were in that line.
It's so funny that they kind of, so in this billboard of this ad, if you haven't seen it, they do put it in an order of like least to most acceptable too. Like they have like house cats and dogs on one end, on the far other end is like chicken and cow. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, you've actually just made a spectrum for us.
Yeah.
It's not mixed up.
You did it. Thanks.
Okay.
I think you know the answer. You're just unwilling to say it. PETA's a sham of an organization.
Oh yes.
I despise them.
I started in high school I might have told the story before. There's a girl who wanted to start a PETA club, and me and my friend to troll her started a puh PETA club.
You're just an asshole.
People against PETA.
Hey,
we were right. To be fair, we were right.
I appreciate that there's an organization like standing up for animals, but PETA is also like the most hypocritical.
Yeah, it's not them.
It's not them.
Anyway, they had turtle soup. It looked kind of good.
Yeah. Immunity challenge. You're split up into three pairs. You have to go do a crawl under a net. You have to go into a forest and untie a rope, and then it adds on as you go. So it becomes a longer course each pair that goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And this challenge was looking pretty even. Until the teamwork happened.
I do think Fong made one mistake in the early section, and that was putting Kelly and Sugar together.
Mm.
Because you need one person that can carry those flagpole pieces, and neither of them could carry them very effectively.
I see the rationale, though, in that
they
wanted them to do the shortest section
because
they are very clearly the least physically able.
Yeah, I probably would have done the same thing, to be honest.
Yeah, and that puts a little bit of a gap, but then whoever that second pair is, I think it's Crystal and...
Crystal and Ken.
No. Ken goes with Maddie.
Crystal and Ace.
They make up a lot of ground.
Yeah.
But when it's nearly neck and neck, and I have to give Maddie credit for going over the top of the course.
So smart.
It's very smart. If there's no rule saying you can't do it, why not? Go over the
Air
top.
Bud rules.
And they get back to the mat almost at exactly the same time. But like you said, the teamwork was a huge problem for Fong. And Ace thinks he knows right. And like basically waves off his teammates doing things.
Which is dumb on a lot of levels. And I do get it because I think it's just panic and choking.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose this many times, it is mental more than anything else. And Ace mentally crumbles, but you're never going to do it alone quicker than their team can do it together.
There's six pieces. Even if you're doing a thing and you think you know you're doing a thing, there's no reason for everyone else to stop and watch you do this.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's bonkers. So while he sits and struggles with one piece, Coda just finishes.
Which is the wrong piece, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's absolutely wrong.
And he's visibly panicking. I think, actually, this might be one of the most, like, panicked moments I can think of a contestant in a challenge.
Mm.
Like, visibly so.
He yells at Crystal, get out of the way, and tries to do it all by himself. And
Crystal... When he's trying to get that piece in there over and over again, I was like, that's a man having a panic.
Even Jeff's like... You don't have to force it. If you're trying to force it, it's not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have surmised that people were panicking in challenges before. This is the only time I can think of that, or one of the only times I can think of where I can see it happening on their face and in their hands.
Sure. And Crystal really wraps it up with an Ace is a tyrant and a bully.
Yeah. Fair. It is interesting that both challenges end with a Crystal... audio-only confessional about what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Different format. I don't like it.
Crystal's just going to narrate the rest of our lives.
Crystal's actually the host of Survivor from here on out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
She got a lot of plastic surgery done. To look like Jeff, who also has a lot of plastic surgery done.
Say, there it is. And yeah, so Coda wins. We go back to Fong, and it's kind of just a let's dog on Kelly a little bit. Yeah. Ace dogs on Kelly. She's going home tonight. But Maddie has other plans. He goes straight to Ace and he's like, we should flush the idol. You know that that alliance that we had where you wanted to save someone? Let's go after the one person that you wanted to protect.
Maddie, why would he ever agree to this?
It doesn't make any sense.
The only way you can make this happen is if you tell him that's what you're doing. Hey, and you have to have the votes on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I don't want Sugar to go home, but I don't want this idol on our tribe. So we're all voting for Sugar. Now, that does put all the power in Sugar and Ace's hands. Correct. To decide who they want to get rid of.
Uh-huh.
And it could be you because they're pissed at you. But this is an insanely like stupid thing to do.
But to him, it makes the most sense.
And there's a lot of people on this season that are doing stupid things that to them make sense.
Uh-huh.
And they're all on the same tribe together.
And Ace is sitting there like, no. No, 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 we can't do that. We don't have to worry about the idol. I promise you. I cannot tell you why, but I promise you, don't worry about it. Wink.
Why trust him? Maddie, why are you trusting him?
Because he swore on his girlfriend, which means the most to him, which we talked about at the very start of the episode.
I know, but that's mean he promised not to vote with him. That doesn't mean to trust him.
Fair.
I don't know. Maybe Maddie's smarter than I give him credit for, and he thinks that Ace is his bridge to get in with the old Codas and the new Coda.
Mm-hmm.
But this just seems like a bad idea. This seems like he is the worst negotiator, making the worst deals of all time. Well, okay, no, Eric exists, but some of
the rest of this section makes me think that there was only one cameraman, because there was one person from each pair goes to a different conversation each time, because it starts with Maddie and Ace, and then it goes to Crystal and Maddie talking about how Crystal wants to blindside Sugar, and Maddie says, no, you can't do that, because I trust Ace. But why do you trust him? Well, we need him. Okay. So then Ken and Maddie are talking, and Ken doesn't trust Ace, but Maddie made a promise that he can't break. But if we blindside Ace, it's a guarantee we make it to merge. Because then you take out Sugar next time.
Yeah. Maddie, why did you make this deal?
It's bonkers. But then Ken goes to Sugar. It's like,
yeah.
People like Ace are taking advantage of us. You need to stop letting Ace take advantage of you. It's like, should I get the idol back from Ace? The idol that...
And the craziest thing about this conversation is this is the first conversation between the two of them we have ever seen.
It's true.
They might have had others, but it's the first one that we have been shown. And Ken just goes, he has the idol?
I'm sorry?
Why does he have the idol?
Why does he have the idol? You should have the idol. We all know you have the idol.
Oh, he asked for it. What?
Is that enough for you to just give it to him?
Actually, she specifically says he did not ask for it. I offered to give it to him.
It's true.
And he didn't try to talk me out of it, which is crazy because we saw the scene and he did ask for it without, he did that thing where you ask for something by letting the other person seem like it's their idea. And he did a really good job of that.
I don't know that that's true because she very clearly is just like, hey, you should take this.
Yeah, but he set all the circumstances for it. Hey, they know you have the idol, so yes. If you don't want to have it anymore to get the heat off of you, I'll take it. I'm not asking for it.
That on top of last episode where he says, I may need to call upon you to play that idol for me.
Yeah.
It all wraps up into this. So then I guess Sugar takes the idol back?
Maybe.
It's all very confusing.
It's a good scramble, though, of people being like, what the fuck are you? And, like, none of it has to do with the vote, because everyone's voting for Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean, it does have to do with the vote, but, like, it's more about next vote.
Everyone wants to pull a move, but it won't.
But everyone wants Kelly to go home more.
Yes.
Which is kind of saving Ace's ass. Like, people wanted to get rid of Ace last episode. No, GC's got to go. People mm-hmm. want to get rid of him this episode. No, Kelly's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? So, tribal happens. And Jeff, once again, out of 10 challenges, you've won 2.
Yikes, man.
It's not great. Maddie says we're cursed. Kelly says we can't work together. Both are correct.
Both are correct. And Kelly, I can't imagine why. I mean, it's not just her.
Crystal dogs on Ace a little bit here, and Ace does take part of the blame. He's like, I take my fair share of blame for that. Like, I screwed that up.
I think if Ace didn't have a fake dialect, he would have, like, 10 times less threat on him. Like, I think the fucking Bond villain dialect makes every... Because he's good at this kind of stuff. Like, he fucked up and he doesn't try to pretend he didn't, which is something I've criticized a lot of people for.
Mm-hmm.
Just, he goes, yep, and I take more than a fair share of blame for that, is maybe the perfect thing to say. But he says it in a way that sounds like you're tied up in ropes dangling over a pit of lava, and suddenly everyone's reminded that you're evil. And that they need to get rid of you because you're a threat.
It's because he's Mr. Worldwide and he can't help himself.
I'm confused by Ace. Do I like him? Do I hate him? I don't understand him.
You're not the only one with that sentiment. He is a confusing character.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, you just know that he wore a fedora to high school, you know?
Stop.
Like,
Well, here's the thing. Maybe if he lived in England for a bit, he tried really hard to, like, have an American accent. And then he just wants to be cool as an individual.
I don't understand.
Okay. Crystal, we get on the topic of that the tears again.
That doesn't exist. The accent he's doing doesn't exist.
We get it.
It's a made-up dialect of, like, 4 different parts of England. And he fluctuates between them.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're fine. I think we could talk about his fake accent all the whole day.
I think until he goes home, I'm going to every episode.
We get back on Crystal crying, and she says, some people see the tears as weakness, very much alluding to Kelly.
Yeah.
And Kelly says, it's not.
Well, Jeff's egging them on because she has a reaction to that. Mm-hmm. And Jeff's like, you just, when she said weakness, you reacted to that. What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, she's not stable. And
yeah, the exact quote was, I didn't say you were weak.
No, first she says that you're not stable.
Oh, okay.
Because we have to call back to it.
Yes, you're right.
In the worst possible way.
Jesus Christ.
It's insane. And Crystal says, I'm crying because we're losing. We're not eating. Like, if you don't understand that it sucks to lose, you're not going to be here much longer.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not anyway.
Well, she's not.
But Crystal's right.
Yeah.
It's okay to have emotion and to lose.
Hey, it's a competitive game.
Yeah.
You should care when you lose.
Yeah. So that doesn't make me weak. And then Jeff comes in. Well, Kelly didn't say you were weak. She said you were unstable. Yeah, that's worse.
There are people that just should never be at tribal council for their own health and well-being.
For your own safety, stay away from tribal council.
And Kelly is one of them. Because every time we've seen her at tribal, she says the stupidest shit imaginable. To the point that she went from being safe, like the episode that she went with Fong where Jackie went home, she went from being safe to, like, people being like, should I switch my vote?
We might need to get rid of her.
Just yelling at her own team.
Also, the throwing Ace under the bus, hilarious. Like, I wasn't the only one who noticed this. Ace noticed too. We went on a walk and Ace is like, whoa, hold on. Don't try to pin this on me.
Which he did. He did call her weak.
He did.
Or at least he agreed with Kelly when she said he was.
Mm-hmm. This is the problem being agreeable and walking off with people and being like, yeah, you know what? That's right. Because then they can call back and be like, he agreed with me. It's not the best argument. Like, no one is going to take your word for this here.
Yeah. Ace is kind of a less effective Yule. He's good at the doublespeak and all of that. And he's like, he's very much like, but like, instead of like politician, he's a shady businessman.
Sure. And Kelly calls him out on that. Like, he's always double talking and he always has to have the last word.
Well, she says, I don't even understand what you're, or something like, I don't understand what you were saying, something like that. And he
he's always double talking, and Ace says, "I'd be impressed if you understood what I was saying half the time."
Damn.
That's a pretty good poet slam. Drop the book.
Good line.
Ugh. And then we vote.
Fucking Schrodinger's Ace. I cannot decide if I like him or hate him.
Kelly is voted out 5-1 in a
sweep. And Crystal flips off the camera when she holds up her vote.
Yeah, she does. There was no love lost for that vote.
No.
How do you think Kelly does in Future Survivor?
She is a first boot. That is a first boot ass contestant right there. I can't think of somebody that like is worse at tribals about picking fights with their own allies openly, seemingly for no reason. We had multiple people, like she was ranked at the bottom of her tribe on her original tribe. She got new life in the majority alliance and fucked that up so badly that she got sent home with the people that needed her vote flipping her off on camera.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the worst contestants I can think of. She doesn't seem to make friends. She only makes enemies. Besides the entertainment for the audience and the things she says with her own foot in her mouth, which actually isn't even her foot in her mouth because she doesn't care enough to raise her foot to put it in her mouth. She just stands by what she says. Like, I can't think of anything redeeming.
Here's her problem. She is the youngest competitor in Gabon.
Sure.
And I want to give her like 4 years to figure out who she is. And maybe she might be better at this.
Maybe, but I mean, like, I think of Frosty. I think of how Amanda was pretty young.
I mean, Frosty played the game with his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, but not like that.
Not like that. Very different.
No, I mean, I agree with you. She needs more time in the oven. Like, homegirl's got to cook a little longer to be, like, a person.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus Christ, man. Because it's not even just the game part of it. Like, she's obviously bad at the game, but she was also just, like, nobody liked her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we used her as a tool for that one vote.
For that one. That was the most useful thing she did all game.
So she doesn't come back. Very no. clear and obvious. She does work as a producer for CBS, though. She cast producer for The Amazing Race. And now she is the casting producer for MasterChef.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, like, has a reality TV career beyond Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for her.
She got something out of it, probably in the way that, like, reality TV shows work and, like, how their film sets work and the process and all that's super valuable if you're going to be on one side of it and go to the other side.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Your protagonist of the episode?
I think it's Maddie.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the vote's not contentious. That's who's going home. But his deal with Ace and all of the shuffling around, I mean, you could argue it's Ace, and I think the show really wants it to be Ace. And I get it. He's entertaining. But I think Maddie does more of the, like, moving and shaking here. Mm. No, I changed my mind. I think it is Ace, actually.
Okay.
The more I talked about it, I was like, no, because Ace is the one who approached Maddie and was like, "Hey, kid, you want to make a deal?
You want to buy a watch?"
And now he's kind of in control of everything. He has supremacy, as he said.
I'll throw some Crystal sprinkle in there. Like, she is a little bit of the narrative as well.
Yeah, that's true. It's not a cohesive narrative.
No.
This is also one of the weaker episodes I can remember.
All right.
I would say it was more entertaining after the immunity challenge. Like, that chunk from end of immunity challenge to tribal was more entertaining than the rest of the episode.
I agree with you on that one. Yeah.
And the next time on looks very entertaining. This fucking musical chairs where both tribes are going to tribal.
Him,
and
me, you, her.
Nobody can decide who they're voting for.
Yeah, get ready.
All right. What a mess.
Well, then let's shut this down. Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Jared, what would you like to promote?
Game Changer, baby.
It's back.
Steve and I talked about it before we recorded. He was not as big. He hated the first episode.
That's not true.
He said that he might cancel a subscription, but I really liked it.
Very much not true.
I thought it was a great episode. I also saw somebody, I saw a show a few days ago before the episode came out, and I saw somebody at the show, a friend of mine that was in the show came out afterwards in the Jacob Wysocki Super Saiyan shirt, which was, that was the, one of the things that they put on the website as merchandise. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty fun.
Nice.
But no, I love that fucking episode. I love how progressive Dropout is as a company. I love them. I love that they're raising their price by a dollar, and the comments are people being like, let us give you more money, please. Charge us more.
You're doing good work.
Turns out when you do things that, like, when people feel respected, they want to support you. Weird.
Crazy.
Crazy. Anyway.
Although I did hear that people were upset that they were, like, selling out when Lou Wilson sold part of his hair.
Oh, yeah.
Limited. And now, obviously, they know why he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
It's funny. The internet's a weird place.
Yes.
Why do people get upset at things?
Because they're bored.
Who knows?
And sometimes for good reasons. Right. But usually because they're bored.
Okay.
What about you, Steven?
I'm going to promote, I don't know, a fair and smart trade policy by the country that holds a lot of power.
Yeah.
Like,
shit's bleak.
Maybe you shouldn't throw random numbers at a wall and throw the entire economy into collapse.
And who knows? None of this could be relevant by then.
Who knows?
That's the problem.
He might just take it back. I doubt it.
One person shouldn't control international trade. I mean, this is having obviously like super real world consequences, but like I have a customer at work that does like playground equipment, mm-hmm. mostly for homes, like swing sets, stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, we don't know how many orders we're going to get because we have to raise our prices by 25%. Like, overnight.
Bonkers.
Crazy. Like, they had pre-orders that they're going to have to cancel and be like, sorry, it's 25% more.
Yeah. And I was having this conversation that, like, a lot of people, they need to be hit where it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, other people are just going to be collateral damage.
Yeah.
In the most, like, not a big deal situation, but it was something that I was preparing for, and like now it's kind of a bummer. Like I was prepped for the Switch too, and that's going to affect that, and I assume it's going to be more expensive than originally intended.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Maybe by that much.
Well, I cannot pay $900 for a Switch, sorry.
I mean, it was before tariffs, what, 600?
No, 450.
450. Oh, okay. So if it ends up being like 25%, you're still looking at like, yeah, like 600-700.
Yeah. I don't know if I can do that.
Ooh.
But yeah. Not something that is pivotal or like life changing, but something that hits me.
It all adds up.
Yeah. Bummer.
I thought you said bumper. I was like, Steven, we're well past that.
Bumper it again. For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
My host Steven, this is Jared.
Just keep bumpering. Bumper all the way home.
Just always be bumpering. ABB.
Every day I'm bumpering.
Getting back to recession pop.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.